Thank you all for your incredible contributions. I think you've said everything I want to say already. So I think we can go home. Next time, I will not ask you first. I'll finish sharing mine before I ask you, because in the end, I have nothing more to say. Okay, so I want us to look at, there is a bit of confusion scientists are divided on this subject matter, and we want to look at it. We want to investigate together. We want to go on a journey together, look at what has transpired over the in times past. So we look at Isaac Newton. He's a renowned scientist, and I realize that Clive touched on him, and probably I might not go into detail about him, but then just to let you know, he was one of the renowned scientists who discovered gravity, or the force of gravity, just by observing the apple falling from the tree and, you know, further coining mathematical formula to calculate gravity. And that was monumental in the history of the world, because that changed everything, how science worked. It changed everything and made it possible for us to be able to explore space and go to space and understand what is happening within space to a very large extent. And Stephen Hawking also, I think about 300 years later, after Isaac Newton held the Lucasian chair of mathematics in Cambridge University, Stephen Hawking too came. He also worked on gravity. He did some work on gravity and black holes. And he occupied the same position that Isaac Newton occupied. However, they were divided. Isaac Newton says, because of gravity, it makes me believe there is God. But Stephen Hawking says, because of the laws of nature, like gravity, it debunks the existence of God. So now the question is it science, is it the problem of science, or is it the problem of the individuals? Now let's move on, let's see what happens. We have some interesting, renowned Christian scientists that were known to clearly, openly declare their stance to be believers in God. We have Kepler, we have Faraday, we have Maxwell, and look at this one. We had Bill Phillips, a Christian, and also Peter Higgs, an atheist, and they both held the same Nobel laureate position at some point. However, one disagrees, one agrees. Then between 1900s and 2000s, about 60% of the Nobel laureates in America were Christians. So what divides them? Why? All right, so it's clear that it's not science that is actually disproving God, but it's the individuals, their worldviews that shape some of their statements or their positions. And so we want to look at that into details. We want to look at some of the statements of the scientists and then what science itself says. So now there is a difference between a statement made by a scientist and then a statement made by science. So a statement made by science is like a principle or a law that has been established through investigation or through scientific research. You come to a conclusion that this is it, like gravity. So gravity, we have come to understand that gravity obeys the inverse square law, which means that it is inversely proportional to the square distance between two bodies. Now, let's look at what a scientist says. The cosmos is all that is, or ever was or ever will be. So a scientist has said this does not mean that science has established that fact. And that is often confused. That you meet somebody who say, oh, even Isaac Newton or maybe even Stephen Hawking said this. So that is it. No. Whatever, whoever has said, we need to put it to the test. We need to put it on the table and then have a look at it. So it's like, in the past, Aristotle said the universe was eternal. Was that a statement of science or a statement of scientists? It was a theory. And later on, it was discovered that the universe had a beginning. And that had been said by the Bible long ago, that in the beginning, God created. However, scientists said, no, Aristotle, he said, no. The universe is eternal. And later on, they came to say, okay, now Big Bang, something happened, which is interesting. And that Big Bang in itself, after more research and investigation, they realized that actually there was a beginning to the universe, which goes back to confirm what the Bible says. Now, there are people, Stephen Hawking said, religion is just a fairy tale for people who are afraid of the dark. And John Lennox, my favorite man, he says, atheism is a fairy tale for people who are afraid of light. And this is where, and also they also came out that science is the only way to truth. That's what scientists said. And this statement in itself is not a scientific statement, it's a philosophical statement. So if science is the only way to truth, why is he making a statement of philosophy to claim what he's claiming? Do you get it? So philosophy is a different, or yes, related discipline to science, but philosophy is a separate discipline from science. So if science was the only way to truth, use scientific equations or research to prove to us how science is the only way to truth. So to make such claim, you are contradicting yourself. And that is pathetic. Now, so Hawkins went on to say that the grand design, he said that philosophy is dead. And he said it's now left with scientists to bear the torch of truth in our generations. This statement is just like what I explained earlier. So now, the truth is, if science was the only way to truth, then we need to remove all other disciplines from our universities and leave only science. We need to take out history, we need to take out literature, we need to take out philosophy, we need to take out every other discipline so that science will be telling us everything about everything in this world, because that is the only way to truth. So the more you look at, you weigh this, the statements by these renowned, renowned, it's clear that they are renowned. However, their personal interest influenced some of their statements, not necessarily the science. So we are just seeing the loopholes in the statements that some scientists have made. Now, for instance, if I should ask, let's say we came here this morning and then Hillary, God bless her, she brings us cake as she does sometimes. And I ask you, why is this cake made? Come and explain. Physicists will come and tell us, will explain the mechanics involved, how heat energy transferred through the oven by radiation, and they'll give me all the processes. And then the biochemists would also tell me about the chemicals, the raising agents, or however the egg and the combinations and everything. They would explain all that. And then that still does not answer why the cake was made. However, whatever they are saying is true, it's correct. They are all fact. What the physicist says is correct, is valid. What the biochemist says is also valid. But does it answer why the cake was made? No. It's because she made it for us to enjoy. Yeah, so basically, if someone else should say, okay, she made it for us to enjoy, is she wrong? No. The person who answered that is correct. So all those statements are true. But all are coming from different perspectives. So this is pointing to, it's taking us back to how the universe was made, and if Jesus, or if science explains the universe from a certain perspective, it does not mean other perspectives are invalid. That's what I'm trying to establish. Right, then another Nobel laureate, Sir Peter, he says that the claim that science is the only way to truth is unworthy of science itself. He said that the existence of a limit to science is made clear by its inability to answer childlike elementary questions having to do with the first and last things, questions such as how did everything begin? What are we all here for? What is the point of living? Science cannot explain these. So it is obviously not the only way to truth. This is another one. Richard Dawkins, he says, belief in God is a delusion and that it is dangerous for the lives of people. And the word delusion actually is a word in psychiatry. It's not a sign, it's not necessarily in the field of Richard Dawkins. And what does it mean? It means that to disagree with facts or to hold on to a false belief, regardless of any amount of evidence that is presented to you, all the strong evidence will be so clear that this is it, but you say no because of what you believe. That is delusion. But is it so with believing in God? Is believing in God a delusion? So now we look at what a psychiatric professor has also said about it. He says that it is beneficial for people to believe in spirituality and to believe in religion. And he said from several publications and several research surveys that have been conducted, people who believe in God are associated strongly with greater psychological well-being, increased happiness and hope and optimism, higher life satisfaction and sense of purpose, enhanced self-esteem, and reduced loneliness. And is it not true? When you come here, don't you feel? And faster recovery rates from illness. Everybody will tell you, oh, I'm praying for you. Only that, it's some energy, it uplifts you. And this is established by science. Just recently, there was a publication that was published that speaks about the effect of prayer. I think I'll share it on the SGBC page so that you can read that paper. It's a very interesting paper that speaks about how people in hospitals who get prayed for, how faster their recovery is, that according to research. So, and that statement over there was a scientific statement because it was backed by data and research. But what the earlier person said, that it is a delusion, wasn't backed by any data. It was just his statement. Right, now let's analyze this one properly. Stephen Hawking again. He says, because there's a law like gravity, the universe can create, can and will create itself from nothing. Is that not interesting? So, self-contradiction, let's look at it first. He says, first of all, laws don't create. Laws explain. So a law will explain how something works, but a law does not create. It doesn't bring forth. So if he's saying that because of a law of gravity, the universe can create itself, it's contradictory because the law cannot create. But it is what creates is the gravity, not the law. The law explains the gravity. So that's why we say the law of gravity. So the second point is, you also say that because of the law of gravity, the universe can create itself from nothing. Now, what you are telling me is that there was gravity to create. So what is gravity? Science has not been able to tell us what actually gravity is, what it is made of. They just tell us that it exists. But what is it, essentially? Nobody knows. So that's why we read Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says that in him all things were made, and for him. And he said, and he sustains all things. In him all things consist. He holds all things together. The word of God is that which sustains and holds all things. People might call it different names. I agree with them. I don't debate that. But it also agrees with Scripture. So, it is contradictory, or it just cannot hold to say that, okay, there was nothing, but there was gravity to bring forth something from nothing. So, gravity, if there was nothing, gravity, what is it? It's something. So you are contradicting yourself. So there was something, which is gravity, which created. So this statement, yes, he's a respected scientist, but you know, we can look at it ourselves and understand. Now they will also ask you, who created the creator? This is a question, the most common question you come across when you meet others. Who created the creator? So anybody, does anyone have an answer to this one? Yeah, so interestingly, that question, who created the creator, has an assumption. It comes with an assumption, which is to say that the creator was created. So who created him? That's the meaning of the question. And actually, the God of the Bible is not created. The Bible makes it very clear that he is eternal. He was not created. So for you to assume that who created the creator, you are assuming a God that the Bible is not speaking of. So our God wasn't created. So the question is wrong. It can't apply to our God. It can apply to other gods, idols, but not our God. Now, Stephen Hawking, I don't know why he's just lashing Christianity like that. I don't know why. I don't know what Christians did to him. So he comes again and he says that you have to choose between God or science. Sadly, there was a lot of assumption in those days that, okay, God, anything that the world cannot explain, they will say that God did it or God created that. So whenever science manages to explain something, they say, oh, then there is no need for God anymore. Let's kick out God from it. However, when you look at the Bible very well, the Bible is not speaking of God as one who is the God of the gaps. The God of the Bible is not the God of the unexplainable. No. The God of the Bible is the God who created all, both what we understand and what we don't understand. That is what the Bible says. And actually, when you read the book of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, he says that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the honor of kings to search it out. So our God, that the God that we serve, he actually intentionally conceals things. And he wants us to find it out. And when we find it out, we become honored. And that is why scientists are honored. When you make a discovery, you are honored for it. That is how God created the universe. That is how he set the universe, so that we would set on that path of discovery with him. And he's happy to teach us, to lead us into all truth in this universe. He's not threatened by you finding something out. He actually wants you to find it. So God is not, the God of the Bible is not threatened by scientific research. He's actually happy about it. He claps. The angels clap at what we manage to find. You know, when you find, oh, yeah, I've got it. This is it. You are honored. That is how God created his universe. And God actually initiated that scientific, he created that inquiry, that desire to find things out. He placed it in every man. So science, exactly as you said, as Grace said, it explains the hows, but not the whys. Evolution, somebody else will say, how about evolution? How about evolution? Right, what does evolution do? Evolution explains biological changes over time. It does not explain source. How it all came to be, evolution doesn't. It doesn't do justice to that. And so it still does not disprove God's existence. It's not against it. Right, another person says, if you believe in God, it has nothing to do with reasoning. It's, you are just believing in God is like believing without evidence. Because in science, in Christianity or in religion, you don't need evidence. You just have to believe. But it's not true. It's not the case. Because John said that we write these things so that you believe. There is a lot of evidence in scripture by historians. And it is based on these evidences that you hear and then you believe. So like Jesus says that blessed are they who do not see, but yet they believe. So people take this scripture and say, oh, it means that you don't have to see, but believe. No. What Jesus is trying to say is that, you know, there are several ways of getting evidence. It could be auditory evidence. It could be what you see, gathering evidence by what you see, by text, all that. So he's trying to say that blessed are the people who were not there in his day to see what he did, but upon reading or gathering other evidence, they would come to believe. Because you need to hear to know what happened and to decide to believe or not. So however you got the information, you gathered that evidence, aside seeing it directly, and you chose to believe, blessed are you. That is what he meant. And Albert Einstein says that every genuine scientist must have faith in the intelligibility of the universe. You must believe that the universe is intelligent. You must believe in your own brain to be able to understand what you are going to study. So you actually need faith to be a scientist. As a scientist, you get inspired. Oh, this might be the case. Then you believe it, then you start researching into it. You need faith. Without faith, you can't do science. And that was what Clive said. It's a spark. And when the spark comes, you believe and pursue it. And you find it out. That's how it works. It starts with faith. Very close to, I'm about to finish. So just two more slides and we are gone. Sorry for keeping it too long. Let me look at the time. Oh, I've spoken for too long, haven't I? So finally, I think I'm almost finishing, you know. And Blaise Pascal was also a scientist, and he said something. He said, the belief in God is the most rational bet a person can make. He said, if God exists and you believe, you get an infinite gain. You get eternal life to be with God forever. But if God exists and you don't believe, you lose forever. You miss out on it forever. I wouldn't go into that for now, with the word forever, because there are several explanations to the word forever and ever in Scripture, and I'm not going into it now for another day. And if God doesn't exist and you believe, it costs little, but the disbelief gains nothing. I don't know if you get it. So now, this is what he's trying to say. If now, actually, there is no God, and you believe that there is God, and you die, what do you lose? You've benefited from believing. As a believer, there are benefits to that, all that. So when you die and go to find out that there is no God, there is nothing, you rest. You rest in the nothingness. However, if you say there is no God and go to find out there is God, how do you make amends? How do you correct your mistake? You are doomed forever. However, if you believe he's there and we go and he's there, hallelujah, we enjoy together forever and ever. So this is a scientist. So he said, even if God's existence cannot be proven, it is wiser to live as if he does. This is a scientist reasoning through the whole thing. He said, no, I better believe. And because of this statement, my brother was into philosophy. And when they started teaching him all the philosophical arguments about God's existence, he came to me, he would come to me and just crash my head with these questions. And I'm like, oh goodness, I don't want to hear these questions. And in the end, he tells me that this is the particular statement that made him decide to continue in his belief with God. And most of the scientists that claim they are atheists, before they die, they normally call for a bishop to come and pray them into the kingdom after misleading the masses. So don't be misled. Finally, science and faith, they ask different but complementary questions. Atheism and science may be at odds because a lot of the atheistic ideas actually disagree with science fundamentally. Faith in God is not irrational. It is based on solid evidence. The God of the Bible encourages science. And that was the scripture I quoted earlier. And also, when you look at in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that when God created Adam and he created the animals, he told Adam, name these animals. That is taxonomy. That's where taxonomy began. Name the animals. And it's a whole block of science. I read Genesis chapter 3, and the Bible says, he said, a mist went out of the earth and watered the ground. That was rain, how rain was formed. And I looked into my biological science, and I saw that this is hydrological cycle. Mist went from the earth and watered the earth. So mist, vapor, vaporization, condensation, back to rain. Hydrological cycle in one sentence in the Bible. The more I read the Bible, the more I see biology. It's just beautiful. The more science discovers, the more we actually see God. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. And God bless you for coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful discussion this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are God. We want to ask that, yes, a lot of us believe that you are. We just ask one thing. Let us begin to know you more on an individual level. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen.
So we just going to listen to another song that we hope to use in the next month. And this is one that Alistair selected when he was